even equate what God can do in his one finger. Amen. And so the devil can't create with a word. God can. And so we got to quit saying that it's the devil every time, because sometimes God wants to show. In other words, God wanted to show the fire.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT. Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all
things. I present to you our teacher, our pastor, Dr. John E. Montgomery II.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, thank you afresh for this wonderful opportunity to study your word. Thank you for the people of God who have pressed their way out of this lunch hour to share the word of God. And we pray that you bless them in a special way, that you'll open up their understanding, that you give to them the principles of your word and then power to practice them so that they may profit from them. And we'll be ever so careful to give you all praise and glory. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And the people of God said, amen.
Amen.
Give the Lord a mighty hand of praise today, if you will. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. We're going to go through a familiar passage of scripture, but hopefully it will be revolutionary in terms of your understanding. It'll be scripture that you're familiar with, but not the interpretation thereof to this level. One of the words that we have been studying more recently, is Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7, which says, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. But it makes clear, in all thy getting, get understanding. Now, wisdom is akin to your God knowledge. In other words, the Word of God. The wisdom that God will have you to have will come from His Word, which is the written, divinely written and inspired Word of God. But now, God does not want you just to have knowledge. Here is what's most important. The verse says, and in all thy getting, get understanding. What's the sense in having the word and not know how to operate it? What's the sense in knowing scripture but do not know what they really mean or how they need, how they are used to operate every day in everyday life, everyday situations, or the way God intended? So how many of you have asked God for anything lately? All right, good. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Reverend Smith will do some of our reading and others. Okay, all right, well, we'll start off then with Reverend Mays. I didn't see him here. Matthew 7 and 7, and then 7 and 8. As you're turning there, you will remember that this is what's historically known as the Sermon on the Mount. It goes back in helping us understand from the 5th chapter through the 7th chapter. This is actually the lesson on the Mount, because the Bible says in 5 and 2, he sat them down and taught them. And that was a continuation. That's how they did in the Eastern culture, especially Jesus on his nomadic journey. He would sit down long hours ministering the word. And the word says he taught them. Now, teaching and preaching have two dynamics. Preaching challenges, teaching changes. And so his purpose was to change their understanding, to increase their God knowledge by sharing the scripture, but then changing what they knew about that to understand it according to the word of God. So Matthew chapter 7 deals with three principles. Verse 8 deals with three promises. So in chapter 7, verse 7, you have three principles when you're asking God. And you really want to know, God, why hasn't my prayer been answered? How do I get my prayers answered? And you have principles right here that many of us have not known how to operate in. Now, we start with verse 7. We need to get you a mic, because I want, this is for recording also. So where's the mic? Okay.
Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you.
Okay, right there. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. That's the second principle. Knock, and it shall be opened unto who? To you. Now, these three principles say that if you want something from God, that you must do one of these three. All three are not necessarily necessary in the same asking. In other words, asking is one principle. Seeking is another principle. Knocking is the third. One commentator say you ask for what you want, you seek for what is lost, and you knock for what you need. Another commentary say you ask for what you wish. Another says you seek for what you miss. And then thirdly, you knock on what you want opened. Now this is very interesting and important at the same time. Because when we begin with this principle number one, you're going to understand that this word ask is loaded. It means alms, it means prayer, it means request, it means petition, and several other words. But here is the point. It also includes a platform of either beggars on the one hand or believers on the other hand. Now, one of the things that you're going to note is your prayers will be answered according to your platform. If you're a beggar, You're asking, you're begging, you're pleading with someone to be kind enough to give you something. When you are a believer, you have a right to what you're asking for. You have the ability to petition, which is a formal request, for something that you are entitled to. And so when you begin to understand, wait a minute, am I a beggar? And how I go to God in prayer is usually representative in how I ask him. Oh, Lord, here I am, your poor, weak, humble servant, knee bent, body bowed, begging you, Master, to have mercy. Now, that's how we prayed in olden days because we didn't know any better. And God meets us where our faith level is. And so for many in that day and time, God heard and answered their prayers. But now, James said, when you know better, you ought to what? Do better. So now we don't pray like that as believers. Now, beggars still pray like that. But as believers, listen, read St. John chapter 1, verse 12. And I want you to see the difference in how God shows us who we are and how it begins to open up a new level for us. And we'll be able to walk in that truth as believers and not beggars.
John chapter 1 and verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name.
Okay. Now listen, there is a word there that says power. This word power comes from the Greek word exousia. Exousia means authority. He gave them the authority to become the sons of God. All right, Romans 8:17 talks about children and children of God. Then we're heirs, and if heirs, joint heirs. Well, now, all of this makes a difference because now when we pray, we're praying out of a relationship with God, not as a beggar. See, most times when beggars ask folk for alms, they were asking folk they had no relationship with. They were asking passerbys, people who were not kin to them, people who they hoped would have mercy upon them, but they were not in relationship with the folk. Well, now we need to realize as we ask God, it is based upon our asking in relationship with him. There is a difference because when we ask, we literally petition him. Now, we don't plead with him, we petition him. That there is a difference. When you know who you are, and when you have that revelation knowledge that you are a child of the Most High King, get ready for 1 John 5 and 14 and 15, and realize that you have the ability to call upon him and ask in a whole different way. That means when I ask now, I am petitioning him because I know I have a right to what I'm asking him for. I'm not begging, I'm not pleading, I'm petitioning. I have a right to ask him. Read.
1 John chapter 5, verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him.
And this is the confidence we have in him. What?
That if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us.
According to his will. Now, hey, if we ask anything according to his will, the confidence we have is we've got word knowledge. The word knowledge is the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God teaches us to ask for what God has promised us. The wisdom of God teaches us that if God didn't say it in his word, I don't have a foundation in his word, then God doesn't have a right to grant it to me. But when I pray according to his will. Read.
Verse 15, and if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him.
All right. Now, here's that word, petitions. Notice there. It comes out of jurisprudence, a legal term. Petition, we have the right, the formal right, to go before God our Father, to ask him for what belongs to us. You remember in the 15th chapter of Luke, the prodigal son? He went to his father and said, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. Now, he had another brother. We're not sure if there were any others, but let's assume they were the only two. The older or the eldest brother received the double portion. He received a single portion that was usually given as an inheritance. It was usually given after the father was deceased. But they could legally request their portion before the father died. This is what the young man did. He went to his father. Notice how he asked him, give me, Father, give me the portion that falleth to me. Now, why does he ask him that way? One, because the boy knew he had a right to it. He knew he had a right to what was his. In going to his father knew that he knew he had a right to his own stuff. It had already been measured out. It had already been meted out. It was just a matter of releasing it. So the father gave him his portion. Point I'm trying to get you to see is he had relationship. He had relationship. Relationship came, caused him to come to his father and say, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. He didn't come to, oh, Father, please, if it be your will, let me have my portion. I want to leave and go to a far country. He ain't tell the father what he was going to do. He said, just give me what's mine. Thank you, please, sir. That's that. Now, I want to share some other things with you, because when you're in relationship with God, it changes how you ask God. Turn 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 9. Here's where you're going to find God taking young Solomon, a young boy, who he has given this major favor to, and he gives him the ability to name what he wants. Now, anything he would have asked God for, according to his position and relationship, God would have granted it. But look at what he says.
1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 9. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?
Amen. Now look at what he asked God for. He asked God for an understanding heart. Now, he wanted an understanding heart so he was able to discern difference. See, that's the wisdom that God wants us to have, to be able to, in every situation, discern difference. What is right, what is wrong, what is good, what is bad, what is up, what is down, what is now, what is later. It's understanding all of the things that wisdom gives us, the Word of God, to know, so that we'll be in the will of God when we judge a matter according to the Word of God. Now, I want you to see again, Moses, Exodus 33 and 18, wanted to see the glory of God. He really wanted to see the face of God. God had to tell him, no man has ever seen my face and lived. He said, but I tell you what I'll do, I'll put you in a cleft, hide your face until I pass by and let you see my back. Now, why does Moses ask God for this? Because he has relationship with him. Why? Because when you have relationship, you have certain rights. You have certain privileges. You can ask God certain things that other folk who are not within the confines of relationship can ask God for. All right? If you would go to Joshua chapter 14, verse 12. The old man Caleb, who was one of the 12 spies sent out by Moses to spy out the land of Canaan, he and Joshua came back with a minority report which said, we can take the land. We can do it. We
can't take this land according to the word and the will of God. The 10 spies came back and said, we cannot do it because they are giants that live in that land. This is the same man, 80 years old, who makes a request. He says, give me this mountain. Now look at the boldness of an 80-year-old man. He's staking his claim because of his relationship with God and with the men of God, the leaders of God. Why? Because of relationship. Now see, my brothers and sisters, as a believer and not a beggar, your relationship entitles you to come to God and boldly declare what you desire. One of the things I want you to know also is that many times we miss God according to James. I want you to read this, chapter 4, verse 2 and 3. Now look at why God won't bless us with some things. Yes, we've asked, that's the principle. We've asked, but we've not received. Now here's a checkpoint. We've got to make sure that other things are in line. Read.
James chapter 4, verse 2. Mm-hmm. Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not.
Listen.
Verse 3, ye ask and no. Yet.
Wait. Listen, all of those negative things, evil things you do, the end result is that you don't have it because you didn't even ask for it. Amen. Didn't ask for it. Simple as saying, God, give me this. We don't have to be covetous. We don't have to be envious. We don't have to be jealous. We can ask God. The same God that gave somebody else something can give us something that's rightfully ours, that belongs to us. And knowing that, we have but to ask God in faith, believing God. All right, verse 3.
Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust.
Listen at that. You ask, but the problem is you're asking the wrong way. You ask amiss. Now, the analogy here is a target, and in the middle is a bullseye. And all of the rims around it gives you everything from 10, 20 on up to the middle bullseye at 100. You're so bad, you miss the whole target. You miss. That you didn't even hit the target. You didn't get 10, 20, 30, 40. No, you missed the whole thing. And God is not under warrant to grant what you've asked him for when you've missed the whole target. In other words, you've got to understand the word of God, the will of God, and the way of God. If what you're asking God is not God's will, then don't think God's going to give it to you. Wisdom teaches that if you're asking the wrong way, you won't get it. Well, God, you said in your word, if I ask, yeah, also according to my will. And the will is the word of God. So if I don't ask according to the word, then I don't ask according to his will. If I don't ask according to his will, I don't ask according to his way, which means that I don't have enough God knowledge and wisdom to operate in it because, again, I don't know the word. That's why when people take, you've heard the saying, a little knowledge is a dangerous thing. Because it's just enough to get you hyped up on the wrong thing, going down the wrong road, thinking you're right and you're wrong. And then you blame God because, well, this stuff don't work. I did what God said, and he ain't do nothing. No, you did what you thought God said. Because if you had done it the way God said do it, you would have it. He has declared he's not a man that he should lie. Listen, or the Son of Man, that he should repent. So when we learn how to ask as believers, go to Mark chapter 11, verse 24, and read that when you get there. Why is this important? Jesus says in verse 22 of 11 chapter, have faith in God. Verse 23 talks about having faith as a grain of mustard seed and being able to tell this mountain move from here to yonder's place and it shall happen. But verse 24, read verse 24.
Verse 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, mm-hmm. and ye shall have them.
My, look how simple that is. When you pray, do what? Believe. This is a faith issue. When you're a believer and you go to God and you ask God for something, you're believing he's going to do what you ask him to do because you know his word. One of the reasons why the word is there is for your learning and for your benefit. God, you said in your word, if I do thus and so, you'll do thus and so. See, God wants you to be able to bring him in remembrance of his word. What he really is saying is he wants you to be able to say, God, you said this. God already knows what he said. But as it relates to doing something for you, God wants you to have, one, the wisdom of God, the knowledge of God, to be able to operate in the principles of God. And so you go boldly to the throne of grace, not whimpery. You know, not shy, not scared, not beggarly, you know, but you go boldly, because you're asking in faith and you're believing, I'm not wasting my breath. I'm asking according to the word of God. Now, the next word is seek, and ye shall find. Seek. Now, this is another important word, because when you talk about seeking, it's always in the context of something lost. In the 15th chapter, in the 8th verse, the woman who lost one of her coins, she got a lamp and a broom and started sweeping, trying to seek out that lost coin. Why? Because it was something of value and she lost it. Isaiah 55:6 says, seek ye the Lord while he may be what? Lost, found. Seeking, lost, found. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Listen at that. Again, it means that we have lost, turned away from, forsaken the face of God. So we want to find it, and it comes by seeking him. And these measures have to do with our whole heart, whole focus, with our whole desire to do it. So ask has to do with petition. Seek has to do with purpose. When I am seeking something, I'm seeking for the purpose of what? Finding it. If I'm not seeking anything for a purpose, I'm looking. If I happen to see something, I happen to see it, but it ain't what I'm looking for. But notice there is a difference in people who are seeking something for a purpose. They look with a sense of purpose. You know they got something on their mind. They're lifting up stuff. You're looking for something. Can I help you with it? And they'll either tell you what they're looking for, they say, that's all right, I got it. But they are looking with the purpose of finding it. Why is that so important? Because one of the things that you must understand is that many times God grants us things and he puts it before us and we don't even see it because we don't even seek for the answer. Don't even seek for the answer. You say, well, God, I asked you that. God said, I've been gave that to you. I know that's not correct English, but that's good. I've given this to you a long time ago. Why? It's been right there by you, but you didn't see it. It was either because you didn't believe he was going to give it to you, or you didn't believe he was going to give it to you in a timely fashion, or because he didn't give it to you the way you thought he was going to give it to you. But when you believe he's going to give it to you, you start looking for it. I'm looking for what he promised me. Every day becomes a day of expectation. You are seeking it out. Why are you seeking it out?